Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. from Colorado, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled Bill's Story. We're located on page 12 on the sixth paragraph, and it begins with the real significance of my experience through one paragraph ending in how blind I had been. And we're commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Team Tuesday. We've got Joni C., Bonnie B., Elena C., Carolyn S.H., Heidi B., Vanita L., and Eileen M. Thanks so much, ladies, for your service. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, April 8th, 2024, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording, we have 21,292. That's 21,292. The 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book recording is 21,293. That's 21,293. Here's always preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And at a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Jen, for your service. Bonnie B. from Florida. Great word today. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those who serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn in a public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joni C. and Bonnie B. Well, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. This will allow us to have a quiet meeting when everyone's phone except the speaker's is muted. Today we resume our study in the chapter titled Bill's Story in the Big Book on page 12, paragraph number 6. I will now ask Elena C. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. Elena C. from South Carolina, recover for today. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence and be blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it had been ever since, how blind I had been. Well, thank you so much again for the opportunity to talk and read this paragraph, to talk about this paragraph. And you know, what struck me the most was for a brief moment. And here's what it means. That's just how God comes, especially at the beginning. You know, and he describes the experience of God. It was an experience, and it was a significant experience that happened for a brief moment where we need and want God. I'm talking about us, about me now. A humble willingness to have God with us, with me, and the fact that he came because he's been there all along, hasn't he? And then, you know, soon after, here's what happened. He's gone. He's gone because the sense of his presence is gone. Not he's gone because he or she is dead. But I pushing God away because my attention gets drawn into all these things around me that, you know, they're not as significant as having God. And usually these things are not only around me, but they are within me. You know, there's those blockages, there's those thoughts that I have that I might judge people around me or myself. There's this resentment. There's this impatience, you know, and I need to pay attention to that. 12 steps of recovery have given me the tools to pay attention to that and go back to this moment, a brief moment of having God within me and around me. And with God within me and around me, I can show up for the world and for God's children in a way that I never thought was possible. You know, I always wanted people to be the way I wanted them to be so then I can be happy. And these steps of recovery are helping me become the person that I wanted other people to be. And those brief moments can happen over and over again if I, too, do my part. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Elena C. We do value everyone's experience, so we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too, here on the line. And so I'll be taking names, the first name, first initial of your last name, and your state when you come up to pitch. So who would like to share on what was read today? Go right ahead, one at a time.
Katie G. from Boston.
Katie G.
Reva P.
And Reva P. Carolyn S.H. Oops. Carolyn S.H. You can press star one to unmute.
Bonita L.
Bonita L.
Tony B.
Tony B. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started with that lineup. Let me tell you who I heard. Katie G., Reva P., Carolyn S.H., Bonita L., and Tony B. All right, KDG, go right ahead. Good morning.
Hey, John. Sorry about that. Good morning, everyone. This is KDG, recovered in Boston. What a beautiful paragraph. And for me, when I have needed and wanted God, it's only through repeated humiliation and the final crushing blow of my self-sufficiency. And that's a quote from the AA 12 and 12 that I love because I have to be honest, I'm not that good of a person. I haven't wanted God when things have been going my way. My humble willingness has come at the end of a long road of hashing out my need to fix, manage, and control. You know, my last go about with this disease was, you know, being 17 pounds underweight and my whole life was crashing in before me, and I had people in these rooms asking me what was wrong, you know. And when your sisters and brothers have the courage to tell you that something's wrong, it is so profound because you guys are my truth tellers. And at that point, I had no choice but to go to God because my disease had gotten so bad that I couldn't differentiate the truth from the false. Because of worldly clamors, because I have a desperate need in my disease to fix, to manage, and control. And when I'm not fixing, managing, and controlling, I'm too afraid to live. Because when I put the food down or I put the behavior down, I'm not putting down my problem. I'm putting down the only solution I've ever applied to my problem. And then I'm stuck with the fear. I'm stuck with the anger. I'm stuck with whatever it is. And so I must go through the steps. Like, what was so amazing about that breakdown is it became a breakthrough. It became a breakthrough in which I was able to stop exercising and stop looking to gods and stop considering that my body weight is my divine entity. And I have to be honest, I can still get blocked by the worldly clamors, by looking to my body, by looking to the numbers, by looking to my ability to look good in front of other people. But that those worldly clamors will continue to make me blind. And I love that somebody said, you know, the blindness is not God going anywhere. The blindness is occurring within me, right? Like, I need to uncover, discover, and discard everything that is me. This process of recovery for me has never been a process of addition. It is subtraction, and I don't mean weight. I mean it is a subtraction of all the things that block me from God. So if you're new or you're in relapse, God is with all of us. We're just completely blocked. And the entire abstinence and the steps get us to that relationship with God, and we continue to develop that as we move through recovery. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Jen.
Well, thank you so much, Katie G. from Boston. Up next, we have Reva P. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning, Jen. Hi, this is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto.
How?
Hello?
I totally get it.
Sorry, we're going to get the lines remuted. Go right ahead, Reva P.
All right. Hi. Resetting my timer. This is a really timely paragraph for me. And
sorry,
for me,
Reva.
This
just pause for a second. I don't think we have the lines muted. So can we mute the lines again on our dashboard so that Reva can have a quiet share?
Right.
Hold on just a second, Reva. Okay. Let's see if we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. Am I muted or can you hear me?
No, you're perfect. Go right ahead. Thank you for your patience.
Awesome. Okay. So, hi. Yeah, this is a really timely paragraph for me, because what this paragraph says to me, that when I come into the program and I see all these, you know, powers of example, and maybe I do step one, two, maybe even three, I can get a spiritual awareness. But I cannot get a spiritual awakening or experience unless I continue and do the steps. So I can need and want God, and he can come, and I can have like this white light sort of experience. But unless I continue with the whole process, steps 4 through 9, and continue in 10, 11, and 12, God, my spiritual perception, the way I see the world, will totally change and go dark with worldly clamors, mostly within myself. Loud noise. That's what the disease is for me. It's noisy, it's loud, it's screaming at me. And it doesn't have to be, you know, loud about the food itself. It can be loud. For me, mainly everything comes down to fear. That I know how awful things are going to be, and I can't see. I am, like it says, I'm blind. I don't have that spiritual perception. Down is up, up is down. Things that might be good, I just can't see it the way God sees it. And it's such a great reminder that, yes, God is always there. You know, the truth is sort of like, if I don't have my glasses on, whatever I'm looking at, it's still there. It's still gorgeous, but I can't see it properly. I can't see the colors. I can't see the details. I can't see the beauty because I have like the wrong glasses. So if I want to continue keeping that channel open, I've got to watch those worldly clamors. And I think that's the purpose of step 10, and then 11, and then 12. So thank you, God. I don't have to live in the dark because I have the steps that keep me seeing things and living life the way God would have me, not how I would have me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva P. from Toronto. Up next, we have Carolyn S.H., followed by Vanita L.
Hi, good morning, Jen. Good morning, everybody. This is Carolyn S.H., so gratefully recovered today in Massachusetts, setting my timer. I am so grateful to all the shares. I believe this is referring to the very beginning of this chapter when Bill's talking about the plaque that he saw in the cathedral, the warning. and that it spoke to him, and yet then he immediately, like the next paragraph after that is about fancying himself a leader, and then he brings us through his whole obsession with himself and, quote, arriving and following the worldly clamors and not being connected to God, and then bringing us to this, like, awareness. Now he's, so this is my interpretation, and I'm going to relate it to myself. Like, when I, going through the steps, becoming connected to God, it's about being willing to let go of the worldly clamors. I currently am going through a tragedy of 2 days ago. My soon-to-be ex-husband actually died in a car accident. And the worldly clamors that are happening around me, there's a lot of drama regarding family dynamics and the children and all this. And the worldly, so the definition of clamor is popular outcry, any loud or continued noise. And like on the phone with my family, et cetera, they're like clamoring against that family and saying what they're doing is bad, blah, blah, blah. And if I buy into that, I'm not listening to higher power. My job this week to stay recovered and stay connected to higher power, to stay with the sense of his presence. And the sense, definition of sense is feeling or perception. I need to be willing. So I am just working my steps, staying in my program, staying connected to higher power. And I just wanted to, the blot, definition of blot is to darken, dim, obscure, or eclipse. I thought that was amazing. That if I am not willing and if I'm not seeking higher power, all the things around me and within me are going to darken the sense of his presence. And the clamors within me, it's so easy for me to buy into I'm a victim, et cetera, et cetera. And that is just not reality. That is not God's reality. And my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carolyn S.H. Up next, we have Vanita L., followed by Tony B. Hey, Vanita.
Hey, Jen. Good morning, Vanita L. from Georgia, recovered compulsive overeater. And I often share because it helps me participate and feel like I belong. Yeah, this is such a good reminder for me because, and I loved when someone said God or whatever we want to call it, it's always there, right? God never abandons us. We abandon God, and that's always really good because it's good for us to remember it. You know, if we want God, we just have to come back and turn our attention towards God, and we haven't been abandoned. And but I do abandon God, and that last share was super powerful for me because when people talk about tragedies, and especially really recent tragedies, and they're calm and centered, it's always a powerful example to me. So, yes, thank you for the reminder to, no matter what's happening, staying with the great mystery or whatever we want to call it, is the way to go. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Vanita. All right, up
Pardon
next,
me.
Vanita.
What page, please?
Yes, absolutely. Let me tell you where we're at today, and then we'll go on with our next person. So we have Bill's story in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 12, paragraph number 6, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. All right, and it begins with the real significance. All right, so we just heard from Vanita L. from Georgia. Up next, we have Tony B., and then I'll take another list of names. Good morning, Tony. Tony B., could you press star 1? We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Hi, my name's Tony B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Scotland. Yeah, it's good to be here this morning. Good to read this paragraph. Good to hear all of you. And yes, it's one thing to sort of feel God in a kind of, and it makes me think of that phrase, frothy emotional appeal, just kind of some vague notion of him. And I think because he is, and I'm quite sure of this, deep down in every one of us, you know, we have these glimpses. But, you know, I've come to realize that that's not enough. I certainly did have moments as a child. I had one moment where everything sort of expanded out and it felt like I was absolutely part of everything. And other moments in Canterbury Cathedral, actually, that's where I was brought up, looking up at the architecture and just feeling so like there must be just the beauty of it, and the music as well added to that. But yes, that's certainly, yeah, got blotted out for me. I suppose in teenage years, our thoughts and our energy does go outwards. Certainly for me, you know, finding food first, then alcohol, then drugs, then boys, all of that came in. And I feel like there's been a process of returning, you know, returning to God, but I don't think that could have happened without an admission of utter powerlessness, really, because I never put my trust in God before. I thought I always tried to do it myself, and this process of ego deflation with the steps, this process of working with others, particularly for me, and continued 10th steps and 11th steps, is, you know, keeps me connected and in the sunlight of the spirit. And I'm so, so grateful for it. I don't think I could have found it another way. I was too egocentric and, yeah, trying to do it all myself. So I'll leave it there. Thank you for letting me share, and I look forward to listening to the rest of your shares. And thanks to those in service. I pass.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. All right, so we are going to take another list of names before we do. We're in Bill's story, page 12, paragraph number 6, the real significance of my experience. We're just going to comment and read that one paragraph. So we're going to take another list of names, and we do value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. You'll give me your first name and the first initial of your last name. I'll go ahead and write it down one at a time. Go right ahead.
Leah S.
Jessica C.
Jessica C.
Lynn S.
Sylvie K.
Lynn S. And who was the other person after Lynn?
Toby K.
Andrea B.
Andrea B.
Toby K.
I got you, Toby. Thank you. All right. Sounds like a good lineup. If you'll give me the state where you're residing, that way folks can find you on the member list. We'll start with Leah S., then Jessica C, Lynn F, Toby K, and Andrea B. Leah, good morning.
Thank you so much, Jan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and very happily recovered today. So I'm going to focus on mostly those within myself, almost towards the end of the paragraph after the worldly clamors. I was the drama queen, absolutely. What does that mean? It means my ego, poor Leah. I am very self-centered. I am very self-seeking. I am, I am Leah. I can do this and I can do that, and I'll show you, and I'll. These steps are so significant that there is no words for that. It starts with my first step, that I have to surrender. And so as I go on with each step, I have to come into another step all over again. It's not what I remembered about those steps. It's really taking upon myself those steps. I am doing this each morning, every day, fresh. It's not, you know, because yesterday I ate does not mean that I don't have to eat today. Because yesterday I showered does not mean I don't have to shower today. And because yesterday I had such good program does not mean that I don't have to take upon myself my program each and every day. So step two I'm already surrendering, and then in step two I'm beginning to understand that I am not everything. My ego has to go over here. Who am I? I'm just a dot among 100 dots, you know? And I have to be that best dot that Leia could be. And then in step three, I am absolutely understanding and taking upon myself that whatever happens today is in God's will. And it's not because I did so or that did so or, yeah, God has his messengers. I'm not saying that. But it basically begins with me. If I have that concentration and do it each day fresh, then I'm bound to go through these steps in a timely manner that is good for me and that will be good for me in each and every day. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. from New York. Up next, we have Jessica C., followed by Lynn S. Go right ahead, Jessica.
Hi, thanks, Jen. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I really appreciate this meeting today and the shares. When Bill talks about reflecting on his experience in the cathedral and understanding what had happened, that he had wanted God at that moment, it reminds me of when I was in high school and I had this experience where I felt really, where I feel like I experienced God. And it was because I had ended a really toxic friendship that I thought that I needed to be okay. And I the friendship ended, I ended it. And I realized that, you know, and I had this, I feel like this direct experience with God where God, you know, I realized that this is what God wanted me to do. And I've never had another experience like that. And so I spent a lot of my life feeling like God abandoned me, that God sort of gave me this white light experience and then took it away and never gave it back to me. And so I've had resentment towards God. But I, you know, through this reading and the shares that I've heard today, and just, of course, all of the step work I've done around this is, I'm just reminded that God has always been with me. He's always been with me, you know, before that experience and after. And it's just so comforting. It's great to not be blind to that anymore. And for me, the worldly clamors, can often be, you know, when I get the things that I want in life, and then, you know, I might be changing jobs and I'm excited about that and it gets me kind of amped up, and that's a clamor for me, a worldly clamor, and I start to, like, you know, fantasize about how great it's going to be, and then my humility is going away and I'm really distracted from my building and deepening my relationship with God and being of service to others, and being present for the people in my life, for my husband and my family. You know, it becomes all about me. So just really, really grateful for this program and for, you know, having the steps, having the ability to do inventory and all these things and stay grounded in what I really need in life, which is to continue to develop that relationship with God. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Up next, we have Lynn S., followed by Toby K. Hey, Lynn.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. And, you know, I was reading this paragraph along with us when it was being read, and what I had underlined was the last part about these worldly clamors. But I'm sitting here this morning, and what's really speaking to me is for a brief moment I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. And what settled in my heart and my mind was May 1989, and me standing in my kitchen, cutting up celery sticks and carrot sticks, and putting caraway seeds in 2 ounces of cottage cheese because it was Tuesday and that was what lunch said on the piece of paper. And I had tears slowly coming out of my eyes. And I thought, I can't eat like this anymore. I just can't. And then came this thought, and I can't live like this anymore. It can't be that God looked down and said, I want everybody in the world to be happy except you, Lynn Skilling, and I want you to be miserable. And I just thought, there's got to be something wrong with me. And in that brief moment, I had needed and wanted God, and he came. And the next day I came into OA, and my life has been so incredibly different. I know that's not what this passage is talking about, I know in the story, but I am just so moved to have that memory flood in so strongly this morning. So I just wanted to share that because I am so darn grateful, so grateful for this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Lynn S. Up next, we have Toby K, followed by Andrea B. Good morning, Toby.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much, Jen. I appreciate your service. And I'm really overwhelmed with emotion because right now I have a situation with my daughter and her spending. And she has been divorced, and now she is married. But my husband told me that she needed a huge amount of money for her debts, and she needed someone to loan her the money or back her up with a loan agreement. And she went to my daughter, and my daughter said she couldn't do it. My other daughter, she couldn't do it. So my daughter went to my husband, and then he just gave her the money. But he's so aggravated, and I'm aggravated because, first of all, she's an accountant and herself, and then second of all, she's such a responsible person. I just can't believe it. And, you know, I thought I had done such a good job with her, so to speak. But I have to go to God now because what does he want me to do? How can I communicate with her? She didn't even tell me. And someone recommended that she goes to DA. And everyone knows I'm in OA, and they think it's a cult of some sort of, you know, mysterious thing, whatever. And I don't know how to approach it. I really don't know how to approach it. I don't know how to, I feel it's my job to say something to her. And she's such a good daughter. She's such a good person. I can't understand it. And she's so frugal. So anyway, this worldly clamor everybody has been mentioning is, it is outside, and it is now within me. And I realize I have to inventory it and go to God to help me with this and to be gentle. I just want to be gentle. And I mean, she's an adult, but I'm really so confused. But God got me out of God got me out of everything else, so to speak. He was always with me, even though I didn't know he was there. Thank you. And I have to rely on God again. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Toby K. Up next, we have Andrea B. Andrea, go right ahead.
Thank you so much for your service. And thank you to everyone doing service to ensure this meeting happens. Andrea B. in New York. And, you know, what captures my attention is that Bill says this is what's the most significant thing in his experience. This is the real significance of his experience. And he also qualifies that this isn't something that happened, you know, he went through days and days of this experience. It was for a brief moment that he wanted God. And then the worldly clamors came back in to distract him again. And that's something important for me to hear, because there is a part of me that wants to believe that if God loves me, God stays with me 24/7 through and through, and is very clearly present in my life. But my reality for all these years is that I block out God's presence and start to focus on the worldly clamors, telling myself the whole time, God's not with me. I've got to make this a decision on my own. This is all on me. But in truth, God is there every single time I ask for guidance. And sometimes that guidance is don't do anything, you know, sit and wait, be patient. But I want to turn instead to the worldly clamors and believe them almost on an equal footing as I believe in my higher powers guidance. So this is my part. My part is to continue to show up and do the work in order to be able to better hear and my higher powers guidance, as opposed to turning to the worldly clamor for guidance, whether that is turning to the fear, because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to feel. So there's almost like a change. It's not intuitive, is what I think I'm trying to say. This is not intuitive. This requires conscious actions on my part. That's what I wanted to share. Thank you so much for your service.
Thanks, Andrea B. from New York. We still have some time on the clock this morning, and we'd love to hear other people share. We do value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day. Is there somebody who didn't get to share today that would like to? Press star one. Give me your name and the first initial of your last
Linda
name.
Linda D.
Larry K. Linda D. Sorry, I think it was Liz. Is that right? Somebody else, say your name again. I thought it was Liz.
Linda D.
I got Linda, mm-hmm. I got Larry, but there was... Sorry, say it again.
Susan S.H.
Susan, thank you. All right, that's perfect. Let's do Linda D., Larry K., and Susan S.H. Linda D., go right ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is Linda D., and I'm so stunned and grateful to be recovered but not cured from compulsive overeating in Connecticut. The world is a place that clamors. It scares the hell out of me. I don't know about you. I have a disease that makes me a person with a nervous disposition. We're talking about clamors here. And so when I wake up, I better be somehow aware, and I think it's by practice over and over of these steps with all of you, I better practice surrendering right away, because I'm going to be sucked in by some circumstance. Right now I'm dealing with arthritis in my shoulders, and that doesn't sound like much, but that's a whole hell of a lot. And the cold that's been going on in my part of the country. So the point of the thing is, I have to be guided through it. I can't wait for something to show up. It'll show up. It's life. And it's hard. And it's so worthwhile, because I am guided through the most amazing amount of stuff. Is it all bad? Of course not. There's absolutely stunning miracles every day. But I have to be on that, in that mindset. And part of it's practice and it's intellectual, but a lot of it is intuitive. I am listening over and over and over. And all I say at this point is, for the most part, all I say is, what do you want me to do next? I'm confused. It's hard work, and it's so worthwhile. God is just amazing. Did you see yesterday that eclipse? Wow. Doing everything all at the same time. What a multitasker. What an understatement. Okay, God's a multitasker for sure, and very dazzling, and I love God, and I love you. Thank you.
Love you too, Linda D. Yeah, thanks, Linda D. from Connecticut. Up next, we have Larry K., followed by Susan S.H. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, I was thinking about worldly clamors, and I was thinking about just ambition in general. Is ambition good or bad? Because ambition, striving for something, for some kind of achievement or distinction, which involves, taking certain actions, that's not inherently bad, I would suggest to you, not inherently bad. It can be actually a very psychologically healthy thing to have a goal, to strive towards that, to be sort of all you can be in a sense. And I think to my life, in terms of, I think back to certain pursuits, it was really my motives, I think, when it comes right down to it. What were my motives? And when I look back and I reflect back, ambition was something that, look, a lot of my family members, friends, other people that were striving towards achieving something, maybe for its own sake intrinsically, or they were achieving something. And I think where it became, if my motives were such that, and they often were, in the disease of the spiritual malady, not just in the food, but the spiritual malady is the core of the disease. My ambitions often were, look at me. Look at this wonderful guy. Look at this guy. Look at the paper. Look what the paper says. I got this. I got that. Look at these letters and behind my name and all this stuff. And I really feel like my motives. Now, there's nothing wrong with education or pursuing work and attaining certain things with hard work and so forth. Nothing at all. But when my motives were impure, looking back, I think what it did is it absolutely blocked me off from the sunlight of the spirit. It blocked me off from a relationship with the higher power. It blocked me off from a degree of surrender which I would need to live a successful life. So, I think back, pursuing, a PhD or something, a lot of that for me, I don't know about you, but for me was, wow, aren't I something? and it was coming from a low place to sell. Look at me, boy, I can really accomplish this. And it really kept me blocked off. Yet, you know, we just have to check our motives, like so many things. God has to come first in my life today, because if not, before you know it, I will. It's not just being in the food. Maybe I won't be in the food right away, but I'll be into selfish self-centeredness and a self-focused consciousness, which keeps me, it strangles me from a relationship with God. And before you know it, my relationships are crap. You know, I can't be of use to anybody else. All the bedevilments come to fruition for me. So I guess the big thing here is, let me check my motives. Always, I need God to check those motives honestly and openly. With that, I pass. Thanks, Jen.
Well, thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Up next, we have Susan S.H. Go right ahead, Susan.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H. in St. Mary's, Ohio. I recall periods in my life, several actually, when I wanted and needed God, and he was there. I recall, indeed, his presence was again blotted out by my attention to worldly clamors, my unwillingness to go to any length, to stay close. So I have been seeing repeated recently, going to any length. Are you willing to go to any length? It comes up again. And I ask myself, am I still willing? Can I still, after these wonderful years of abstinence and recovery, could it be possible that I could let worldly clamors mess up the whole thing? Well, I think it's possible. But am I willing to trust every situation, my will and my life, over to my higher power? I'm saying yes. When I do that, when I surrender, I find he has my back. If I continue to turn to him, he has my back, and I'm very grateful to be where I am today and learning, continuing to learn. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Susan S.H. All right, we have 2 more minutes on the clock. Who would like to press star 1 and share with us and be the last share? Anybody?
Annie T.
Go ahead, Annie. You can share.
Hi, good morning. Annie T., compulsive reader from Ohio. This is like the first time I've listened to Vision for You Live. I usually listen to the podcast. I'm heavily in relapse, and I needed to hear all the shares today. I'm in regret and despair this morning from a binge last night, and it's interesting. I had a binge on the way home the other day, and I had kind of like a come to God moment where I've been really resentful at program, and really, which program and program people have done nothing but love me and embrace me, but the disease tells me that I don't need it, and you know that it's like toxic positivity or something, and that's not true. Like the disease wants me to fail, and the disease wants me to be eating and be in despair. And someone else said something about, you know, maybe I'm not right back in the food, but I'm right back in, you know, the devilments, and that's true. I mean, I instantly feel, you know, terrible and worse about myself once I turn to the food and I block my connection with my higher power. And I try to, you know, make excuses and things like that. And I really was blocked off from my higher power. But my point in saying that is when I had that binge and I drove home, I sat in my driveway crying. And, I heard, you know, God just say, you know, just come back. Like, they'll accept you. Just come back. It's okay. You know, it happens. It's okay. And my sponsor, who I kind of ghosted, she's been trying to stay in touch with me. And I texted her, and I texted a couple other fellows. And one of the fellows gave me the Sunday special. This happened Sunday morning. And it was amazing and exactly what I needed to hear. I'm heading towards surrender. You know, I think last night really pushed me over the edge, and you know, I can't do this anymore. I heard someone else say, you know, I can't do this anymore. Why am I the only person in the world that God wants to be unhappy? And that's not true. Like, I'm doing it to myself. God's always been here and wants what's best for me, and I blocked him out myself. So thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, Annie T. from Ohio, thank you so much for unmuting and sharing with us today. Folks can find you on the member list. Keep coming back. And thank you to everyone who shared, who sat here and listened, and who helped with service today. Please join us for a second and recording hour of study immediately following the closing. Grab your pen and paper. Here's the share ID for today. Re-listen or share it with a friend or a fellow. Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time recording is 21,295. That's 21295. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book. It's on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Carolyn S.H. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.